Somehow or another, that made us best friends over the years. This man, I don't believe in accidents. I think God has a plan. And this man came into my life long before I was a preacher, even thought about being a preacher, but he was a preacher. He was bivocational. He was a minister and a school teacher. And believe me, both have a calling. And this man was good at both. He was such an influence on me that even after high school, really is when our relationship began to develop. When it come time for me to get married, Monica and I went to, at that time, I referred to him as Mr. Powell. We went to him and asked him if he would counsel us and if he would marry us. He said he would be more than glad to do that. And that was a very, very special day in the life of Monica and I. He was there for the birth of both of our children. He's been a part of my life for over 40 years. I can't think of anybody else that I would want to come and to address our church on this really big milestone in the life of my family. He is married to absolutely the sweetest lady on the planet. And he and I have shared something in common. He also spent 30 and a half years at his church, the Green Acres Baptist Church. But he would be like me to say this to you. He wouldn't be where he's at today, wouldn't have anything today, if it wasn't for the lady beside him. I was fortunate. I've got two ladies that's helping me in ministry. He also has a daughter, has a son, has grandchildren. He's been blessed. But he's had a wonderful woman beside him through the whole way. We have a lot in common. But more than anything else, we've had a friendship through all these many years. He's had health issues. I've been there for him. I've had health issues. He's been there for me. When it was bad, we didn't run from each other. And when it was good, we hugged each other. That's what friends do. You know him? He's been here many times. Give Reverend Daniel Powell.
Sure that I'm going to be able to live up to that whatsoever. It has been my joy to share with Roger and Monica down through the years, and it really has been my joy. I've been excited about sharing with them all through the years. Yes, we've been through ups and downs, we've been through good times, and we've been through tough times, but nevertheless, we've been through those times not only with our friendship with one another, but our fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is truly a wonderful blessing to know that you can have that kind of friendship and that kind of fellowship that's not ever going to end. It may stop here in this world, but it's going to continue on even through eternity. And I'm indeed thankful and grateful for that. One of the things I need to do with you is to share with you, on behalf of the Kentucky Baptist Convention, proclamation to Roger and Monica and his family, and to you, Cove Baptist Church, for all that you have done as part of Kentucky Baptist Convention ministries and mission work down through the years. This is a letter to you and to Roger and his family on this day that we celebrate the 30th anniversary. Reverend Hodge, my wife, Michelle, and I are thrilled to offer you our congratulations as you celebrate 30 years of ministry as a servant of the Lord and his bride at Cove Baptist Church. I also want to extend congratulations and the deep appreciation of our entire Kentucky Baptist Convention for the leadership you have given. Thank you for your labor of love. The Bible teaches us to give honor where honor is due. In Romans chapter 13, verse 7, the Apostle Paul wrote these words, "Render therefore to all their due, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due, honor to whom honor. Your service to Christ and his bride is worthy of double honor, as expressed in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. As you mark these 3 decades as pastor of one local church, my prayer for you is that God will continue to richly bless you, your family, and the kingdom work in which you are investing your life. Might God daily grant you joy and fruit from your labors until we all join together to sing his praises at the great marriage supper of the Lamb. Signed with admiration, Paul H. Chitwood, Executive Director, Kentucky Baptist Convention, presented this day, October 22nd, 2007. Should I present everything else then from here on?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
He's not going to get up
to you. Oh, he's not?
It took a while for him to
get up. Yes, it did. I'm honored that Roger's asked me to share with you and to be here with you for this 30th anniversary with his service and labor together in the Lord. And I thank God for you. I pray God for the opportunity just to be with you and share with you at this time. He told me I was going to have about 20 minutes. Well, it's 10 minutes till 12, so I'm only going to have about 10 minutes now. But that's quite all right, because I want to share with you a couple of things. First of all, I want to share with you a song. Several months ago, one of the members of our church had her husband pass away. And our pastor and myself met with her and talked with her about what she would like for us to do with the funeral service. And she asked me if I would sing 2 songs. And those 2 songs were, one I knew fairly well, it was a Bette Midler song called The Rose. And I said, I'll try my best to sing that. But then she said, another song I want you to sing is a song called One Pair of Hands. And I said, okay, I don't know that song. But I come to find out in talking with her that that song was an old Elvis Presley song, part of the Elvis Presley faith songs that he put together in an album some time ago. So she asked me to sing that song, and I said, I'll try to find it and see if I can do that. And since I've found that song, I've really been blessed to be able to share just the message and the thought. And so I want to share that message and thought with you with this song. So just listen carefully to the words.
Amen.
indebted to that lady for asking me to sing that song. That is just a powerful message of what Jesus has done for us. I'd like to share with you just a few words, and they'll be just a few words. But I hope that they'll be not just encouraging, but also challenging words about what God has planned for you. What's one of the greatest things that you can get from someone else that would benefit your life? Now, as I ask that question, I might think rhetorically you're answering by suggesting that, well, if someone would like to give me some money, I'd be more than happy to accept that. I keep asking the Lord about that million. Well, the first million has gone by the wayside, so I'm working for the second million, but I don't think He's going to grant that for me, mainly because He knows that I've not been the best steward of what He's provided for us. But it would be exciting to receive money from individuals, or it might be exciting to receive some other kind of possession. As Roger mentioned, Beth and I, my lovely wife, and I agree with everything Roger said, and even more about this precious lady in my life. But Beth and I share children. We have a son and a daughter, and they have, of course, children as well. And they're just such a rich blessing. But I can tell you that as much as I love my children, I've come to love grandchildren as much or even more. As a matter of fact, you know what people say, if I'd have known grandkids were that much fun, I'd have had them first. Well, that's somewhat true. But they are exciting. But perhaps one of the greatest things that you and I can receive from one another is a promise to pray for each other. But there's no greater benefit that I can think of. Granted, having the opportunity to come and share with you in song and in preaching, that's a joy for me. And I believe the Lord called me, even as a young man in high school at the age of 17, called me to be a minister of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm so grateful. And there are times that I've looked at what He's allowed me to do in ministry, and I've said, Lord, I'm not worthy of any of that, and I just want to give You all the praise and all the glory. So I want to do that right now. But I believe that there's something that you and I need to understand about God's love for us, and that is that He actually is praying for you and for me for this day. You say, "My Brother Dan, how do you know that?" Well, I know that because the Scripture tells us. If you have your Bible, let's look together at the Gospel of John, chapter 17. Jesus was asked by His disciples to teach them to pray. It's the only thing that Jesus' disciples ever asked them to teach them about, how to pray. And then we have that wonderful model prayer that's recorded for us in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. Our Father, who art in heaven, and you know, we can continue on with that. But though that's the prayer that Jesus taught His disciples, that's not the prayer that He, I think, would want us to recognize from Him on our behalf. I think He'd want us to recognize the high priestly prayer that Jesus prayed, recorded for us in the Gospel of John, chapter 17. And I particularly want to draw your attention to verse 20 and 21. Chapter 17 of the Gospel of John, verse 20 and 21 says this. Now remember, Jesus is praying. I know that He's praying because at the very beginning of the 17th chapter, it says that Jesus spoke these things, then looked up to heaven, and He began to pray. Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your sons. So Jesus began to get into this prayer. But as He was moving through the prayer, He said in the book of John, recorded for us in verse 20 and 21, I pray not only for these, meaning those immediate disciples that Jesus had, you know, Peter, James, John, and all those. But Jesus said, I pray not only for these, but also for those who believe in Me through their message. May they all be one as You, Father, are in Me and I am in You. May they also be one even in us, so that the world may believe that You sent Me. What a powerful word. What a powerful thought. You know, I can't think of anything else that Jesus could do for you and for me that would be beneficial than for us to acknowledge that He's praying for you and for me. That He prayed for us more than 2,000 years ago. that before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, after he was in the upper room, Jesus stopped somewhere along that way and prayed for his disciples, and prayed not only for those immediate disciples, but he prayed for you and for me. What a blessing. What an awesome thought. The great creator of the universe, the God who made everything, prayed for you and for me. There's no question about that as far as I'm concerned. He showed us that he prayed for us. And what did he pray for us? What did he reveal to us in the concept of his prayer? Well, he revealed to us at least several things, but let me just shorten them to a couple of things. Number one, I think we can find that Jesus, by his giving this prayer and setting himself even as an example for prayer, he let it be known that prayer can only be grounded and found and have a foundation when it's grounded and founded on a personal relationship between the prayer and the prayee. Imagine trying to talk to someone with real meaning and real thought behind it if you don't know each other. Sometimes that's tough. One of the difficulties I find in our world today is that we've become a people who communicate with each other, but we do so with those wonderful gadgets we call iPhones. And unfortunately, it's made it difficult for us to have what I consider to be intimate personal relationships. And I think God wants us to have those. I'm so thankful for those people who set the example that when we get together at the dinner table, they say, okay, let's put away our cell phones. Put away those cell phones. Or when we come to church, put away our cell phones. When we come to Sunday school, Bible study time, we're going to put away our cell phones. Because those things have made our relationships become more impersonal instead of personal. But God wants us to have a personal relationship with him. And that personal relationship with God becomes the very foundation and the basis upon which we can pray. Because then we know that we are talking with someone who cares about us and our life, and we care about what he's concerned for us. I think that's a great blessing. So he reveals to us that number one, prayer comes about as a result of a foundation of personal relationship between the prayer and the prayee. And God responds to that. But I want you to look at something else that Jesus said. He said that in his prayer, chapter 17, verse 1 and following, read it together with me. Just a few verses. First five verses. Jesus was praying. He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that your Son may glorify you. For you have given him authority over all flesh, so that he may give eternal life to all you have given him. This is eternal life. Now let me pause for just a moment. What is eternal life? Now, you can respond to that, but I would imagine that most of us would think eternal life is a state of being. It's something beyond this life. Eternal life is something in that nether world we call heaven, or that we call afterlife. That might be true to some degree, but the reality is eternal life is a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, his Son. Look at what Jesus says to God the Father here in the 17th chapter. He says, this is eternal life, that you may know him, or know that you may know you, the only true God, and the one whom you've sent, Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. I've glorified you on the earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I have set before you, the world ever existed. Wow. Eternal life is a personal relationship with God, the Father. And eternal life doesn't begin at our death into the afterlife. Our eternal life begins when we first respond to God's call upon our life to accept him as what he has done through Jesus, his Son, Savior of the world, the one who died for each and every one of us. When we accept Jesus as our personal Savior and we acknowledge God the Father has sent him, that's when eternal life begins. Because it's based upon what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. It's not my words. If you're going to disagree with us on that, you're going to have to disagree with God. He's the author of the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John. And I'm so thankful that he's the author because it says he cares about you and about me. What a powerful thought. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7 reminds us of that. Jesus cares about you and about me. God cares about what happens in our lives. And it's in his response to us through Jesus, his son, that the Father says, I want to give you eternal life. And that eternal life is through Jesus Christ, his son. Do you have eternal life this morning, my dear friend? I trust that you do. If you don't, I trust that you find it in Christ. He's the one who gave himself on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. He's the one who paved the way, who set the standard for the sacrifice for our sins. And when Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross of Calvary, he did so willingly, not coerced by the Roman government, not coerced by the Jewish people of his day and time, not even coerced by you and by me. But Jesus gave his life willingly on the cross of Calvary so that we could be free from our sin and live eternally with God the Father. That life eternal begins with your faith in Jesus and your acceptance of him. I trust that you have done that. If not, you have the opportunity to do that here this morning. I'm going to ask Brother Roger to come as we move to this time of decision in our service. Maybe God has called you to unite with this church, or maybe God's called you to another decision this morning. Brother Roger's going to lead us in this time of invitation and decision. As God lays upon your life his will for you, let's you and I respond in response to God.
Stephanie Cobb, stand with me, please. What's our invitation? Softly and tenderly. As we sing, we invite you to come. Would you come?
Thank you.
Our children grow up at church, and when Roger came in today, he said he wanted to go into the ministry, I cried like a baby. I said, oh, honey, they'll fire you the first month. I can't sing. I can't play an instrument. I've never been a missionary's kid. I don't speak a foreign language. I wasn't worthy, and I'm still not. But he takes us in spite of ourselves, and he uses us. And even though I can't sing, he gave us a beautiful daughter that can. And I can't play an instrument. I don't know a whole note from a half note, but he gave us a son that plays piano like the women. Gave me an opportunity to teach little ones. And this is the future of the church right here. 30 more years when we're gone. And maybe 30 more years when we're gone. This will be the future of the church. So teach your children well. Teach your grandchildren well. Because it matters what you do for the Lord. And he won't ever forget it. He'll bless you and he will honor everything you do for God. I'm so thankful for everybody that's here. Each and every one of you have a place in our hearts. I'm so thankful for those that drove such a long distance, Rick and Sue and Mandy, Kim with what she's got going on with her mom, and Carl drive. You all drive from so many far places. And it's not for us. It's for the Lord, what you do for him. And I just thank you. You just have been such a solid foundation of who we are as a family. Now, we've had our trials and tribulations. They go past forward. They got it made. You know, I'm going to tell you, Satan hits us harder than he does anybody. And we've all have survived health issues, and yet we're still standing today with that testimony that for yourself. You firm your foundation of serving the Lord, and he will bless that. Thank you all for your time.
You tell her how proud you are of her, but you also tell her you're praying for her. One other thing, there's one that's not here that I know you love as well. And Matthew was a part of this church for a long time until this career took him away. But he loves this place, and I know y'all love him. He hated it because he couldn't be here to be a part of it. But listen, he is a part of this family, and when he's in town, you guys love him. And then somewhere along the line, in the last couple of years, another kid came into our life by the name of Ricky Hauser. And we were about halfway adopted this kid. And he gave anything in the world to have been here today, but his career wouldn't allow him to come in here and see that. But listen, these two guys are a part of our family as well, and I know you love them. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being with us on this journey. And again, I cannot say how grateful I am to you.
And we're so thankful for Addie and Jaya. Made our life so much richer too.
Oh, definitely. Now, in a moment, I'm going to invite my father-in-law to come and have a closing prayer. And as Mark has mentioned, my parents are gone. I would love for them to have seen this day, but my in-laws are very special to me. But before I invite him to come and have a closing word and a closing prayer, Larry, you said something about you needed to come forward.
Today's Larry's birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday, Larry! Yes.
I don't know why they picked me for this. I'm afraid of crap. Every time I get in front of one, I give them a tang going with it. They told me I was supposed to be funny. Thank you, Dan. It's so much easier to feel than you. I can't get in to stand still. Anyway, they asked me to come up here to congratulate you all on your 30 years, everything you've done to the church, or the church, and I told them I'd do it on one condition, that it didn't interfere with me being first in line at the buffet. Also, if you have another 30 years, I won't be here because I'll be 106. Anyway, I've got a few, couple things for you. So now I owe you for $27.45 from your Sunday school class. You have to collect it.
Okay.
And also, from the church, something they collected, and there again, just to be funny, I'm going to give it to Monica because I know she'll get it anyway. Congratulations.
Are we supposed to open it?
Okay, I'm glad.
It's yours now.
Thank each one of you. Dear Roger, Monica, and Stephanie, there are no words we can say on how much we love you all. Love you all. A little church is full of joy and love. We thank you for your hard work, for doing the Lord's will. Love your family. Man, what? They gave us $100, honey. $500! Wow.
Thank you. Well, the 10th of it goes back in the plate. Some of it will go for Addie, I'm sure, no doubt. And then whoever else in the church needs help, I can tell you that's usually what we do. We give this back to people in the church that we help. God knows that, somebody knows it. And thank you for it, because what you've done is really good.
Okay, let me tell you what's going to happen downstairs. Again, I'm going to invite my father-in-law to come. He's going to have a prayer and a blessing for our food. Dan, I'm going to invite you and Beth to meet Monica and Stephanie now back in the back. We want us downstairs first. After everybody has had a chance to go through and get their food and are seated, they're going to set up a microphone there close to our table where we'll be sitting. And anybody and everybody that wants to come and address us as a family, you're more than welcome to come. Say whatever is on your heart, whatever is on your mind. And after everybody's had a chance to say whatever they want to say, then of course we'll all go home and at that point. I guarantee you there's a lot of food down there. We hope that you can stay and to be a part of that. This is a dear, dear man to me. I call him Pop. Give my father-in-law a hand of applause. Would you stand, please?
Before I pray, I want to say a couple of things. One, Monica, I can't sing either, so we're going to go down.
That's where I get it from.
As you all of you know, one thing I want to thank you for welcoming my family, my wife, myself, Roger, Monica, Stephanie, Matthew, all into your church family. And as you know, we've gone through a lot the last few years, and all my wife has been able to do is pray, but that's been enough. And I'd like for each and every one of you to have the comfort and the peace that we've been able to achieve by depending on the Lord.
Right.
Now, as we go down and have this prayer and have our dinner, I'd like to thank God for everything that He's given us. Thank Him for all the help, all the prayers, and all the comfort and the blessing that He's given us. Please be with the food, as bless our food as it for us. Bless this food. May it better serve our bodies and bless the hands that prepare it.